And now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling Head Football Coach Dan Harris on Sterling High School Radio. And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on Sterling High School Radio, the exclusive home for Sterling football. I'm Rob Strauss, joined by Tad Kosineski, and as always, head football coach Dan Harris. Coach, coming off a big, big win on homecoming, much-needed win. All the hype from homecoming and everything from the long week of student-led festivities. Tell us a little bit about how big this win really was for you.
It was fun, you know, the spirit week, and then, you know, coming out with the victory. Even though it was a close game, but I think as far as the way things went, I think, you know, we had a pretty good handle on the game. But it was great to see the community out. The kids, you know, we had the student body walk us out. So that was pretty fun.
I think, well, I've been doing games here for 10 years, and that was probably the best atmosphere I've seen in recent memory from the fans and from everybody that came out. From, I don't know if it was, if the Spirit Week had a lot to do with it, but it was just a great atmosphere out there.
Yeah, it was real, like I said, it was real fun. You know, they had the tailgate. You guys were there, you know, that's, it just all built up. It was really, it was great. The pep rally, everything, you know, everything just really built up. It was fun.
The tailgate was kind of funny. We kind of had to thank your special teams coaches. We were doing a field goal attempts for prizes, and we had to work in with your kickers there.
Yeah.
So they were on one side, we were on the other. They were like, go ahead, have fun. So it was neat. But for you guys as a football program, as you end the near the end of the regular season, this was a big shot in the arm mentally for your conference. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, well, now, you know, we put ourselves in the eighth seed in the playoffs right now. You know, I don't know which way things are going to go, but just the program, we needed it. You know, after a little less than 2 weeks before, you know, the West Effort game happened, morale was down. But two wins in a row, you know, things are going the right way for us.
How much did the kids feed off of the energy throughout the week? And it finally compiles into the Friday night homecoming game. How much do you think they fed off that energy, not only the fans, but also the week of Spirit Week?
I think it was big. Just telling the kids that there's going to be a lot of people here to support you guys, to see you guys. You know, then each day with the Spirit Week, different things going on. And then I think the pep rally was the culmination of, you know, it's go time. We only got a few hours. And then, you know, the fans walking us out. You know, it was awesome. The kids really, I couldn't say, you know, it could have gone any better.
How does our school kind of compare? We've been here for a while. I mean, you came from another school. You went to another school. How did our week and that whole preparation, how did that compare to how other schools do it?
It's similar, just different things. I've never saw the spirit stick that we do here? I've never been anywhere that's done that. But different days, like the wacky socks and, you know, things like that. But the pep rally was cool with the competition. It was pretty neat. The girl leading it, she was pretty good at it.
You know, she was good.
Yeah. there was, you know, and then, you know, it was actually, usually other schools I've been to, they're scratching for stuff to do time-wise. Here, I didn't even have a chance to talk to anybody. You know, we ran out of time at the end of the school day because there was so much stuff going on.
Good.
You guys got off to a quick start. Start off with C.J. Barrett, the young quarterback who we speak about quite a bit. It's fired up the crowd early here on this 19-yard touchdown catch.
Barrett back to pass. Plenty of time. Looking across the middle for Brennan in the end zone. That's a touchdown. 17 yards. Ryan Brennan Sterling strikes first, 6-0.
Coach, how important is it for you guys to get out with the style of offense that you play, to get out to a quick lead? That only happened about halfway through that first quarter.
I don't think it necessarily means that to do with the offense starting. I just think the defense, just putting yourself in a hole, and I think your mind as a coach calling the plays on the offensive side of the ball for the OC can be tough if you know you are in a hole, like you said. But I think at the same time, we knew at some point our defense has to step up for us to win the game. And that, you know, we started to after the first two drives for the defense.
I think it's important, too, for putting stuff on tape as other teams look at you. You get the first touchdown by a pass. Mm-hmm. So now they got to say, oh, we heard about this double tight thing. It's all about the rumble. But these guys can actually pass. So I think that's important as you're preparing other teams. It kind of helps your offense out.
Yeah, well, you could, you know, percentage-wise, we're running the ball a lot, but, you know, we still have the threat of passing the ball. We have a good quarterback. We have guys that can catch the ball. We have some speed outside. So I just think Yeah, at the high school level, I just think play, you know, running the ball and play action is just great because, you know, guys in the secondary, you know, they start focusing on, you know, making tackles if you are getting to the second level running the ball. And it gets in their head, and then you sneak a tight end up the seam or corner or post, whatever.
All right, so go X's and O's with us in that play. What is the quarterback looking for? Was that the primary receiver? Break us down a little bit.
It's a four vertical concept with both tight ends running jet routes. Well, we call it jets, but vertical routes right up the seams, and then the wingbacks doing the same thing. You know, and it's really good. You know, against a cover three team because they only got three deep, and we're running four deep, so somebody's going to be open. And watching on the field, I thought he was going to hit Charles because he was wide open right away, but Ryan was open as well.
So he had a couple. He can go to one of four different. Are they on this? Are two on one half the field,
yeah.
Two on the other half?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. Was that a straight back drop or did he roll a little?
Yeah, that's it's a three step.
So he can go either way depending on what he
feels.
We
always read from one side to the other to see where the corner, safety corner, where they're located.
So you're looking at – you said you're looking initially at Charles. So what's your thought when you saw Charles go open and the ball's not going his way?
I always yell, I yell, who's ever open? I yell it. And it gets to the point where the kid's got to make the plays. And he did. He threw it to Ryan. He was open and he caught the ball. So that was ideal.
Speaking of Ryan, Brennan had another huge catch later on in the game. We'll recap it right here.
Barrett back to pass again. Nice catch by Ryan Brennan for the first down right at the 45. Right on cue. C.J. Barrett connects with Ryan Brennan, and the sophomore strikes again.
So Ryan Brennan, the senior, getting the pass from the sophomore. Great catch. I know it's hard to describe this on radio, but it was a leaping fingertip kind of grab by Ryan Brennan. Talk to us a little about Ryan and his progression over the course of the season.
He's been great. We were talking briefly. He's typically a quiet kid, but he works hard. Even this week in practice, you know, I had the kids I kind of recognized him just because of that, because I look up and he's one of the guys that's always working, grinding hard, and it pays off. You know, if you do your job, eventually things are going to go your way.
And it's important for a guy like him to be prepared, because if you're a predominant running team, running, and all of a sudden your number's called, he's got to be ready to make a play, and he's been able to do that for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And like I said, that doing your job, even if things aren't going your way or things are going your way, you still have to continue to do your job and expect things. And he does a great job. You know, I think the drop pass where he was coming back on the one play where CJ had some pressure in his face, I think that kind of fired him up to catch that next, give a little effort in that next play.
Overbrook fires right back after Sterling takes the lead there 7-6. And then Tommy Wyatt for Overbrook chimes in with this touchdown run here.
First and 10 for Overbrook from the Sterling 14, and keeping himself is Wyatt. Wyatt's going to go into the end zone for the touchdown. A 14-yard touchdown run gives Overbrook the lead, 12-7.
And I think that was actually after a turnover. I think it was by Charles on the pitch play. I don't think he saw that one coming. Was this the kind of matchup that you – the kind of game that you thought it was going to be in this back and forth, very weird kind of first half?
I actually thought it would be a little bit more higher scoring as the game progressed, just because they're wide open attack, and I thought our style of offense would kind of grind them down a little bit, and we open up some doors for kids to have big plays on our side of the ball. But I thought it would be more open, but I think they only had about 28 or 29 plays on offense, whereas we had like 66. So I think that, in high school football, that it's tough to win a football game if the other team's more than doubled your offensive plays.
You talked about Charles. A lot of the plays Charles gets is on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And it seems like, just like we talk about in other sports, you take your eye off the ball. Is that something he's got to work on? Because it seems like he's having a couple issues with that.
That was an instance where actually the pitch was a little bit lower than we're used to it. And, you get used to catching the ball. It just becomes second nature, catching the ball and you're looking. You know, he's trying to run, catch the ball and run at the same time. So I just think it was a miscue on both ends between the quarterback and the wingback.
And getting to their quarterback, Rob, I was very impressed with the way he at least ran the ball. Like that touchdown play right there, defensively, what did you see from your side? Because it looked like he either made a great read and nobody really touched him.
Yeah, the fundamentals on the D-line and linebackers have been very inconsistent. We're very young there and inexperienced. So there's a lot of mistakes there as you watch film. But we prepared for the play. We prepared a lot for their speed option play. And it was just, again, it was the backside linebacker, backside defensive lineman not doing their job. And our backside D lineman should hit the lineman in front of him and prevent him from getting to the linebacker. And the linebacker stepped the wrong way. And the lineman came and cut him off, so there was nobody there to make the tackle. Playside guys did their job. It was the backside guys didn't do theirs.
So after that 12-yard run by Tommy Wyatt from Overbrook, made it 12-7, a pair of missed extra points. And we talked about this during the broadcast on how important mm-hmm. that special teams game is. They probably could have used some of us from when we were warming up at the tailgate, kicking field goals.
If you think about it, Rob, you've won two games. Mm-hmm. I go back to the Gateway game, too. The difference of you were able to kick extra points where the other team wasn't. That's been huge for you this year.
Yeah, Christian's doing a great job. It pays to have, last year, when I was at Riverside, we lost the game 21-18 because I knew going into the game we went for two. We were pretty successful prior to that, but we didn't have I wasn't confident in our kicker. So you got to make a decision as a coach. You're gonna live and die one way or the other. You know, we have a kid that's doing a good job kicking PATs. I mean, you can't it's tough to even call a 2-point conversion because you're going to get at least one when he's kicking the ball.
And I think you gave Christian a shot to kick about a 35-yard mm-hmm. field goal as well in that game. Pushed it a little wide left, I believe.
I think he got a little bit too. He told me he got too far underneath of it.
And I saw his next point after attempt, he absolutely drilled too. Yeah. So it would have been nice to have that for the three, but he got the one. And then we talk about special teams all the time on the air, Ted.
Yeah, and we go back to the kicker. Do you have a range that you're kind of comfortable if we get to this Paulsboro game where you say, all right, end of the first half, is there an area you're kind of comfortable?
I'd say hit about 30-yarder for him. But I've seen him in the past few weeks. It was about 35 in the beginning of the year. Then it got to like a week or two ago. It was like 37, 38. And then last week at the end, I think on Thursday, he drilled it was like a 38 or 39-yarder, but he had at least another 5, 6, 7 yards on it. So, I guess, we're lifting weights, so I guess his leg's getting stronger. I don't know if that's paying off, but he's definitely getting very comfortable kicking the ball, from some further range.
So we only see him that one kick or extra points. Is he fairly consistent in practice, or is it – how do you feel about that?
Just changing the angles on the field sometimes affects him, but having consistency with the holder, we did switch out a snapper. So I think that – I don't know if that's helping or anything, but he's coming on. I mean, he's been very – as the season progressed, he's becoming better and better and better. A lot of the coaches are saying he's our most improved player. I mean, he's doing a really good job.
5-point edge for the Knights after the first quarter, and then Sammy Messina, who had a great game, especially on short yardage, chimes in from 10 yards out.
40 seconds remaining. Sterling, first and goal. Handed off right up the middle. And close to the end zone. Is he in?
Touchdown.
Yes! A 10-yard touchdown run for Sammy Messina.
So Sammy Messina, who seemed to be coached like your – whenever it was a less than 3 or 4 yards to go, he seems to be your go-to guy.
Yeah, we ask a lot of our fullback in our offense. But it was something we game planned, the offensive staff and the OC talked about was we're going to run wedge a lot. And that's the play where he's getting the ball and, chugging along for 2, 3, 4, 5 yards. So, we stuck to the game plan and it really paid off.
When you started the season, what were the expectations for Messina? Was he just coming?
Well, he had broke a bone in his wrist area. And he was out from the Cedar Creek scrimmage. So that was week 3 of camp until right before the West Effort game. So there really was, the expectations were he was going to be a starting linebacker and then backup fullback with Demir in there. And then Demir went down and Sammy came back. We had to shuffle some guys around. But Sammy came back and he's done a nice job.
So I guess exceeded kind of what you expected as you came into the season.
Yeah, we saw some good things. I just think there was with the injury, he was injured all last season and injured going in. So it was just some knocking some rust off. Didn't see where he's at. He hasn't really no varsity experience except for his freshman year, and that's been over a year and a half.
I've been impressed with his ability, Rob, to hold on to the ball in traffic. I mean, the way you run your formation, he's got a lot of traffic and. he's holding it every time.
Yeah, and that's something we preach to the kids. I think that's got to be in the back of their head at all times, is not to fumble the football. You know, we had one turnover, but, you know, we had 66 plays on offense. So there's a lot of opportunities there for the other team to force fumbles. So, you know, it's something we got to be good at.
13-12 at the half after the 10-yard touchdown run by Sammy Messina. And then an eventful third quarter, both teams trading touchdowns. Sterling gets on the board here via Lorenzo Bay.
Messina 5'10", 175, and they're going to give it to him as he is. It's Lorenzo Bay on the touchdown. From a yard out, Lorenzo Bay increases the Sterling lead.
I'm not going to lie to you, Coach. I thought that was going to be Sammy Messina territory there instead of Lorenzo Bay. But either way, that gives Sterling the oft-overlooked 20-12 edge as heading in towards the fourth quarter. Talk to us a little bit about that play with Lorenzo.
Just our basic power play. And Lorenzo was running the ball pretty well. He a couple sweep plays, I think it was on that drive and one of the drives in the first half. You know, he made a guy miss, made a nice little move and got 5-6 extra yards. So he was doing a nice job. And then, you know, you figure when you get to the goal, start getting to the goal line, they're going to start, we call it bear crawling or submarining, whatever you want. The linemen are just diving at the linemen's feet to try and knock guys, trip guys up. So just our basic power play. And, you know, he did a great job sticking his head down and getting yards.
And that was part of, again, you mentioned 60-some plays in the game, and part of another pretty effective drive that you had throughout the game. Talk a little about that drive in general.
Yeah, that was, just the powers were going our way. And you could see as the game progressed, their kids started doing less of the stuff that they were doing in the beginning of the game, because sometimes all the coaching that you get, you know, when you're tired, that goes out the door. So, you know, we were grinding on them, and it's effective when we're getting first downs. Getting first downs, it kind of defeats the other team.
20-12 with 4:38 left to go in the third, and then on the last play of the third quarter, DeShields, who had a fantastic night for the Rams, chimes in on the final play of the third, makes it 20-18, and that was the final. But take us back to that. To that defensive stand, about 1:45 left to go for Overbrook. They have the ball on their own 35-yard line, no timeouts. And the way that they run their offense, with that spread style of offense, that's a ton of time for them to work with.
Yeah, and the blitzes we were calling were working at that, you know, throughout, you know, as we stopped them, starting at the end of the first half and then going into the second half. The one drive they got on us, Sammy had cramped up. We had put another linebacker in, and we started doing different things. It was just a little hectic because they had a short field, and they scored on that when they pinned us deep, and then we didn't get a first down. And then we punted the ball to them. They had a short field, and they scored. So at the end there, you know, I was just going with the same stuff on defense, you know, and it paid off. You know, like I said, I think tiring them out when we're on the offensive side of the ball and their kids are going both ways, I just think that starts to wear on their, you know, they get frustrated. They want to score right away.
So, Rob, it comes down to, again, the two-point conversion, just like in the Gateway game. Going into the play, what did you expect, what did you call, and what happened?
Two-point conversion.
Didn't they miss a throw to your right down there with something, or is that – they're not going to – I'm trying to remember, Rob. Help me out here. Didn't they try a two-pointer that was for the tie?
I think they did for the tie, and it wound up not working out. I don't
– play?
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, we had a sub in, so the call defensive we actually – if he throws it to the right guy, we only had two guys covering three. We were lined up improperly, and he threw a pass to one of the guys that were covering. The kid didn't make the play.
Sometimes it works out.
Yeah, though. You know.
Fortunate bounce for you. Getting back real quick, this is kind of funny. I think it was Sammy Messina. You mentioned him with the cramping issues. We have great video of Chris Wintenberg playing Sean Clank, our athletic trainer, and trying to work out the cramp. Tad, you got some great shots of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, he just went after. He saw Mr. Clank wasn't there, so he starts working on the leg. He stretched him out, and all of a sudden Mr. Clank comes in, and it was just like the police came in. He just dropped the leg and went back into the huddle. So he tried. He may have a future as a trainer. I don't know, but but he tried.
Huge win for the program. Puts you in a great position coming up today against Paulsboro, which the time of this game has changed. We talked about this before we went on air here, like three or four different times. It was 2 o'clock, it was 12, it's 12:30, it's 1 o'clock, and now it's set for a 12:30 kickoff. What do you know about Paulsboro? Number one in Group 1 right now, in Group 1 South. What can we expect out of Paulsboro today?
They're going to be tough, stopping the quarterback running and throwing. They got a tight end, real tall kid. He's tough to cover just because of his length. And they're pretty effective, you know, running the ball. They got a quick little back. And defensively, I think that's just the backbone of their program for years and years and years under Coach Howard. And they're just tough to score on because, you know, they're tough, gritty. They get to the football, and they do what they're coached to do.
And I've talked to you during the week about this. I've been around the Sterling team enough, knowing some years the Sterling football team will go to Paulsboro and play real well. Mm-hmm. They'll play stand up. Then other times we've gone down there, and after a couple plays, a couple series, it's just like the Paulsboro ghosts take over. Have you addressed this with your team at all, or is it just a business as normal thing? How have you attacked this week in practice?
Just really emphasizing the importance of you know, doing everything you can to solidify. You know, if we get into the playoffs, you know, I told the kids, you know, you could be a part of history as far as a Sterling football player. So, you know, hopefully the you know our kids have played tough against everybody, so I don't think that. It has anything to do with that. I don't think they're going to go belly up. I think more so it's fighting through any type of adversity. We're not going to – every time we touch football, we're not going to score against Paulsboro. Every time they touch football, we're not going to stop them, you know. So it's just a matter of, you know, the amount of fight we have for four quarters, you know. Are we going to outlast them?
How about finish this sentence for me? My major concern is – I know there's a lot when you're playing Paulsboro, but if you had to knock it down to one, what's your major concern that you got? Your team either has to do well or what I'm really concerned about?
Reoccurring theme here, turnovers. They don't turn the ball over a lot. When we do, we don't do well. So, you know, turnovers.
That's a good answer. Great answer, actually. Sterling going on the road for the first time in, we'll call it a month.
It's
been a while. I don't know if we're going to count that West Deptford game at Gateway as a road game, but you guys won't be back again until Thanksgiving. That's a good 3-4 weeks off for you guys to kind of collapse this thing and figure out, yes, are we going to the playoffs or are we getting the 10th game or whatever the situation is. We talked about this before we went on air, the situation. Can you tell everybody a little bit about the playoff scenarios that to get Sterling in?
There's a ton because of the PowerPoints. But if we win, there's still a possibility of us not being in, but that's if like a couple of the other teams beat powerhouse teams that they're not supposed to. If things go our way, or if we win, I got to believe we're in, probably playing, you know, we'll probably be the 7, maybe the 6 seed if some things, you know, some residual points go our way. If we lose, we need another team, the 9th seed, to lose out. They need to, then they play 2 teams that they, you know, one team they're in the same ballpark and then the other team's a really good team. So, you know, it's really, you know, destiny is in our hands. If we win, you know, we're probably 90%+ chance of getting in the playoffs.
Do you think it's a pro or con for Sterling to be for the first year being in Group 3?
Mm-hmm.
Is that good or bad for Sterling
to be
in Group 3 now, as opposed to being in Group 2 for all those years prior
with West Deptford?
With West Deptford,
Haddonfield.
I gotta say it's a pro just because sometimes when you play those other teams that have all that the tradition and the background, and I think it becomes a mountain. You create a mountain that you don't think you can overcome. Mm-hmm. So now you're in a new territory where the kids, you know, it's just playing football. So I don't think there's too much thinking or you know, all that stuff going into the game.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first day game that we're going to have, too?
The Woodbury game.
All right. What is the differences you notice in your team as you prepare for your second day game as opposed to the routine of many night games in a row?
It's tough to say because the first game was the first game of the year, and mm-hmm. we had so many inexperienced players. So I'd have to tell you after.
Okay.
The difference is that just to see, because the first game was a lot of the first actual four quarter varsity game for a lot of the players. You know, 7, 8, 9 of our players on both sides of the ball. So you know, it really today is really the barometer for that.
In the past, if we had an early morning Saturday game, it tended to be a problem in general because the kids almost weren't up.
Yeah.
I mean, they're up, but it's not the same atmosphere as a night game with the lights. But on a flip side, Rob, I'll say Paulsboro is a fun place to play. I mean, the kids have to be motivated when they go down there.
Well, I hope, you know, I got to believe we're going to be motivated for a game. You know, I said to him last week, you should be excited to be playing football that matters at this point in the season. So, you know, it's something for the kids, you know, their experience, especially the seniors. This is something they shouldn't forget. This is something they should work for, you know, with the a longer week of practice because of the Saturday game. So, you know, that was something we talked about all week.
Last regular season home game outside of the Thanksgiving game. When do we find out when the playoff situation shakes out?
Actually, during our bye week, after this weekend, after next weekend, we'll know everything that's going on.
And you talk bye week. It's kind of odd you have it the last day, if you will, last week. If you could make your own schedule, knowing that you have a bye week as a coach, where would you like to see your bye week fall?
Somewhere around, I would say, probably week 5 or 6. You know, a little bit, you know, to recharge your batteries, you know, going into the playoff stretch, you know, and then, but then getting your feet back underneath you as far as playing games. So I think 5-6 range is a pretty good time to have a bye week.
Just about where West Effort has
theirs.
I was
just going to say, I thought of that. It was exactly where the West Effort one was. After you get through this game on Saturday, as Rob mentioned, first of all, you're not going to know the playoff situation. How tough is it? We practiced for the playing. You're going to have, after this game, you're going to have 3 weeks of practice. Mm-hmm. What's the challenges for you as the coach to keep the kids interested?
Well, we have one game, barring if it's playoff or consolation.
That's
we still
true
have the 10th
okay.
game. You know, during the bye week, we'll only practice a couple times. You know, again, let the kids recharge and then going into the 10th game playoff weekend. And then we have, you know, about a 10-day break. So probably give them like 1 or 2 extra days off in that extra week and then kind of treat it like a regular practice week. Maybe, it's really like adding another day or two of practice. So it's really not too long. It's just from, you know, actual live action to live action is a long break there.
Now, I think I asked you this before and I forgot your answer. Have you ever coached or played on this Paulsboro field, or have you just seen them on tape?
No, I've just scouted there. I've never.
Has any other coaches given you any?
No.
I don't look
too much into things, no.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to figure out. There is a mystique, though, when you play there. There's a whole smell, too, when you get down there. There are refineries right behind you. I mean, depending on which way the wind's blowing, I've seen teams become affected for it because it's refinery fumes are coming right in your face, and it takes you some time to get used to it. It's an interesting place, so looking forward to that too, Rob.
And we're looking forward to an interesting game here coming up in just a few moments. As always, Coach, thanks again, and best of luck today.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Coach's Show. I am Rob Strauss, joined as always by Mr. Tad Kozinski. We'd like to thank Head Coach Dan Harris for joining us here on the Coach's Show. Coming up shortly, it's kickoff, Sterling and Paulsboro. You're listening to live coverage of Sterling Athletics right here on Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.